best wood. No need to be afraid there.
There's something in the glade there.
Into the woods without delay, but careful not to lose the way. Into the woods, who knows what may be lurking on the journey. Into the woods to get the thing that makes it worth the journey.
Into the woods to see the king,
to sell the cow,
to make the potion,
to see, to sell, to get, to bring, to make, to lift, to go to the festival, see, to the world, to get, to bring, to make, to the world, to go to the festival, see, to the sell, to get, to the world, to make, to the world.
Hello and welcome to Sister Act. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about movie musicals. I am one of those sisters. My name is Jackie.
I am the other one. My name is Nicola.
And today we are talking about the 2014 Into the Woods movie. Yes.
Yeah.
The film adaptation of the musical, which I saw the Broadway revival, the most recent one with Stephanie J. Block. And I enjoyed it. It was the most I had ever enjoyed this show. I'm not like a huge Into the Woods fan.
Yes. That's the thing. That's the reason I wanted to rewatch it, because I had never seen the show before. I knew like about it, but I hadn't seen it or listened to the whole soundtrack before.
I saw a production at Clarkstown South.
I know, that's why I knew about it, because then you described everything that happened in it to me after you saw it.
Okay.
But so the movie was pretty much my introduction, and I always thought it was quite good. And then people were always like, oh, that movie ruined the brilliant Into the Woods and whatever. And then I saw a production of it in college that I thought was like really bad. And then just recently I started to really like start listening to the original Broadway cast and like really appreciating Into the Woods. So I was like, now that I really appreciate it, let me see if I think that this movie holds up. And I honestly think it's a pretty good movie. I don't know why everyone's so mad.
I didn't have an issue with the like story adaptation that's happening. Like I wasn't like being constantly bumped by stuff, but I did not love it. The biggest issue I had was just like production design wise, it was so drab looking and everything's so dirty at the beginning. And I'm like, isn't the point of this kind of that like it's a fairy tale that then is getting like sort of deconstructed and we're interrogating fairy tales? But like the first Into the Woods number should be like
that is
bright and colorful. And it was like spooky. I didn't like it.
That is what I was thinking as well, that I was like, if you want to do like dark and dreary, make it more of a contrast, like make it bright in the beginning and then dreary in the second act. Because I always thought they did the transition well, but now I wish that there was more
almost
of a
seemed
starker
like
contrast.
It was more colorful in the woods. Like it seemed like they started in just like, it was like so sepia toned. I didn't even realize there was like orange in the baker's scarf. And then in the wood, and like, and also the red in the baker's wife's outfit. Like I was starting to like notice more color.
Yeah.
Just kind of like randomly, like a quarter of the way through the movie. But then it starts leaving again. Like it doesn't feel, it's very subtle, the amount of color that you sometimes are experiencing. And for the most part, it's like so gray.
It is, the coloring is strange.
And then
even in the
really
second act, there are just
experience.
Times when there's like this beautiful sunlight on them. And I'm like, well, why? I'm like, Emily Blunt is about to die and she's got this beautiful lighting on her.
Yeah. The other thing I didn't love, and I think this is really something I wouldn't have said previously, because like, you know, like seeing that Clarkstown South production or whatever, I remember not really liking the baker's wife, and I remember like in this movie I don't think I had like a strong reaction the first time I saw it, but having seen Seb Arcelus and Stephanie J. Block play the baker and the baker's wife, they just, you know, like first of all, no, who can compare to her, but also like they just have this like very genuine love between them because they're literally married. And so I was finding myself being like frustrated with how the baker was like kind of like closed off in like a mean way that didn't feel very true to the version of the Baker that I had most recently seen and really liked. And the Baker's wife was like, like scolding to him in a way that felt like they just felt like they didn't like each other at the beginning. And that I didn't love that. I wanted them to like each other a little more.
That sounds really nice to see Stephanie J. Block and her husband. But I've listened to more to the original Broadway cast than to that. Well, they're not even on the recording.
Right.
But it does.
I watch a YouTube video of Stephanie J. Block singing Moments in the Woods all the time. I love it. And the canonical Moments in the Woods is Stephanie J. Block for me. And the canonical Giants in the Sky is Derek Klena.
Oh, I gotta listen to Derek Klena sing Giants.
That's also just like a video at a cabaret performance.
Yeah, I imagine so.
But it's great, and I love, yeah.
But if anything, I felt like James Corden was nicer than Chip Zion is in the recording. So I didn't have that issue because I've never had a really loving Baker and Baker's wife relationship for me.
It's not like they were loving, but it just felt like... It felt like they, you didn't feel like they didn't like, I feel like there are moments where I feel like these people don't like each other in this movie. Whereas in the production that I saw, it felt like they're just not like connecting, or they're like not, they're saying the wrong thing, but they are trying to express care. It's just not coming out right.
Yeah.
And they get more on the same page rather than they like come to appreciate each other in a way that they had not been.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they come to appreciate each other, but yeah, like it's not like something new is revealed in them. It's like they figure out how to express themselves properly to each other. They get in harmony and not, they like come to see the other person's perspective for the other person more wholly.
That sounds nice.
But that is, I guess, typically how I just saw a special performance, yeah. And it's, they were, James Corden and Emily Blunt are doing the thing as it's usually done.
Yeah, I think so.
So let's talk about...
Yeah, so we open with the prologue. So there's Cinderella, Anna Kendrick. I used to be not an Anna Kendrick hater, but I was just kind of like, I don't know, I had Anna Kendrick fatigue. I was like, what's so special about this girl? And then when I saw the production at my college, the girl playing Cinderella, like, I just could not get behind her performance. Like, she kept switching between, like, contemporary musical theater voice and, like, extreme soprano in a way that was very grating. And I was like, I miss Anna Kendrick. People hate on Anna Kendrick, and she's got a great voice, and she's great. And then I became an Anna Kendrick stan, and I watched A Simple Favor, like, that weekend.
Yeah, no, I was also definitely Anna Kendrick fatigued. I definitely was an Anna Kendrick hater at one point. I don't feel that way anymore. I think that her performance in this is good. I do think I've seen other Cinderella performances that I like a little more. I saw Krista Rodriguez, and I thought she was great. Mm. And I've seen clips of Sutton Foster at that Hollywood Bowl performance.
She was the Baker's wife. Like,
oh, she does more. Who was freaking Cinderella in that?
I can't remember.
I've seen her Steps of the Palace. I've watched clips of that performance, and I remember liking the Steps of the Palace.
It was someone. Maybe it'll come to me. Or you. Anyway, yeah. So Cinderella wishes to go to the festival. The king is holding a festival for the prince to find a wife. And she wants to go. And then Christine Baranski is like, you wish to go to the festival? Then we also have the baker and his wife, and they wish to have a child. And what's his name? Jack.
Milky White? Jack. Oh.
Jack has a cow named Milky White.
Yes.
What does he wish?
Oh, it was Sierra Boggess.
Oh.
Sorry, I wish my cow would give me milk or something like that.
But really, like, his mom wishes the cow would give them milk. He just wishes that he didn't have to give his cow away. I don't know. What does he say?
No, he's trying to milk the cow. He brings the cow into the house to get it to give milk.
Right, yeah.
And the mom is squeeze like, cow. You got to sell that cow.
But yeah, this is all happening at the same time. So Christine Baranski throws a pot of lentils on the floor and is like, if you could pick these up and finish all your chores, you can go to the festival. She gets these birds to do it. And then she's like, these now may I go to the festival?
Birds.
They're like crows and everyone sees them
it's like
the sky.
Not even color with the birds. Come on.
And then her stepmom is like, you look so bad. How could we let you go to the festival? So then she's stuck at home. But then she's like, I know, I'll visit Mother's grave. And tell her I just want to go to the festival.
Also, the sisters, one of them was Tammy Blanchard.
Oh, wow. I was like, this woman looks familiar. The other one, you know who I thought she was?
You know that that College Humor sketch with the batteries?
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
I thought it was that woman, and I was like, that is crazy. This is such a big role for her to have booked in 2014 to then be doing, like, internet comedy videos a few years later, but it was not the same person. It was Tammy Blanchard.
And then we meet Meryl Streep is the witch, and she has the most unhinged entrances and exits in this movie that I live for. So she like bursts the door like off the hinges, and then she does her little rap about how the baker's father robbed her of her greens in her garden. So she put a
rutabagas.
First, she just said that they have to give her their baby that the wife was pregnant with. But then she didn't know that he'd taken her beans, her magic beans. And when he climbed back over the wall, she turned into an ugly old witch instead of a beautiful witch. Because it was her mother told her she can never lose the beans. So then she put a spell on them, which was that their family tree would always be a barren one. So that's why the baker and his wife can't have children. But they can reverse the curse.
And also the baker has a sister.
Oh, yes.
That he doesn't know. That's also, she took their child. Classic witch behavior. And that's Rapunzel, who we'll meet later.
Yes. So they need to make a special potion with...
They need
the
cow
as white
as milk.
The cape as red as
hair,
blood.
Red as blood.
I don't know
the hair is yellow as corn.
The slipper is pure as gold.
Yeah.
So then they have to go to the woods.
So they're going into the woods.
Oh, also Little Red Riding Hood comes in before this. To get some
and she's taking all
bread
these treats for
her granny in the woods. But she's also eating sweets.
She says, the way is clear.
Mm-hmm.
The something sweet
is
I have,
good.
I have
no fear,
nor one should.
So Cinderella is going to the woods to visit her mother's grave under the willow tree. To tell her that she just wants to go to the King's Festival. Jack is going to the woods to sell Milky White. Not in the woods. He's supposed to go to the market, but I guess he has to go through the woods.
He has to go to the next town over because everyone in this town knows that his cow doesn't have any milk.
And that's everyone going to the woods.
Yeah, and they're all singing Into the Woods as they walk in different directions, and then it's like they all meet in the middle, which is... kind of silly to me. Like, at first I was like, oh, I wish I could see everyone walking into the woods instead of all these like single shots of individuals singing. But then when you got this like wide group shot of everyone sort of converging in one point in the woods, I was like, so you all entered from completely opposite directions? That's also weird, actually.
Oh, also the baker's wife finds the baker's father's old coat. Also, the baker's father left after his mother died. So I guess he...
The baker's mother died.
Yes. So that's something he's insecure about. Said he, how can he be a good father when he had no father of his own? But so she finds the dad's coat and it has the magic beans in it. And Emily Blunt is like, oh, we should take these with us. And he's like, you're not coming. The spell is on my house. Only I can lift the spell. No, no, the spell is on our house.
The spell is on our house.
We must lift the spell together. The spell is on our house. So he's going by himself, but she is sneakily following him.
Yes. Cinderella goes to her mother's grave, sings a quick little song. Her mom makes her a magic dress that's gold and beautiful. So she's like, great, I'm going to go to the ball. The worst scene in this movie is then happens, which is Little Red's walking through the woods and Johnny Depp sings a spooky little Hello Little Girl song as the wolf. He makes her stray from the path.
Yeah, I just didn't
like seeing Johnny Depp.
And I
don't like this song.
Like, I don't know. I guess it's good, but I don't want to hear it.
I don't even think it's good because it's not just in, like, even seeing the Broadway production. And I'm pretty sure, who was it? Was
Gavin
it Joshua
Creel.
Henry that I saw? Oh, it was Gavin. Wait, but did Joshua Henry replace Gavin Creel?
No, Joshua Henry was Rapunzel's prince. And Gavin Creel
but
was.
Don't they double? Doesn't the wolf double with someone?
I thought it was just Gavin Creel. Is the Cinderella's prince and the wolf.
Yes. Okay, so it's Cinderella's prince. Great. Whatever. It was someone I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still like, get on with it.
Yeah.
It's not just the Johnny Depp, but the Johnny Depp makes it worse.
That makes me think, oh, this part of the song is good. But it is like long and creepy for too long with nothing going on.
It's underwhelming the way it's blocked in this movie. Like, I didn't feel like they were traveling enough down the path. But seeing it on stage, too, you're just like, nothing. This just feels like the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there are interesting ways to do it. But I've just never seen that number performed or staged in a way where I'm like, thank God this went on for so long.
And then she goes to Granny's and Johnny Depp has eaten her granny. And all I could think about was Emily Axford saying, Grandma, your teeth are honking big.
I actually was thinking about that. I've been watching a bunch of Never After clips, and I was thinking about it a lot watching this. And I was like, Never After rules.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love what they do with that. But.
So Johnny Depp eats. Oh, also before the
baker and the baker's wife meet up. And he's like, you gotta go home.
I wasn't even going to talk about that.
What were you going to talk about?
I was going to talk about, but then I realized that we skipped them, like, getting Milky White. But how he comes across Little Red Riding Hood and, like, just takes her cape off and then she screams and then he gives
it
back.
And then he gives it back. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he runs into his wife and then they both run into Jack. And she, the baker's wife, engineers a trade with Jack of the magic beans for the cow. And the baker's like, that felt kind of immoral. Go home and, you know, you take this cow and you get out of here. And she's like, but whatever. They she's going to go home and he's going to go try again to get the cape. So he's going to the grandmother's house and Emily Blunt is just walking around with this cow. What could go wrong?
So then he goes to the grandmother's house and he sees that Johnny Depp has eaten them and he cuts his stomach open and then the grandma and Little Red come out and they're like, you're not gonna help us skin this wolf? And he's like, what? No. I'm not a hunter. I'm a baker. And then Little Red is like, thank you. You can take my cape. My grandma will make me a new one of the wolf's fur. And she sings, I know things now.
And I know things now, many wonderful things. I like this song.
Yeah. During this song, I was thinking about, you know, I think in a way that I couldn't really appreciate when I first saw this movie when I was like 13, I love how much it's about, which makes sense because it's about fairy tales, like how we communicate to children. And all I was thinking about during this song is that I just started nannying for this 4-year-old girl, and she's obsessed with baddies. She's always like, we have to protect ourselves from the baddies, they're everywhere. And I'm like, oh, this feels really weird for me. Like, I don't think you should be assuming that everyone around you is a baddie. Like, most people don't want to hurt you. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's interesting. Do we tell kids? Don't talk to anyone. Everyone's bad. Everyone wants to hurt you. Obviously, that doesn't necessarily work because they may not obey, but they will listen.
Yeah. And I personally love at the end of that song, she sings, Isn't it nice to know a lot? And a little bit not.
Yeah.
I like that. Me too. That's just that sentiment. It's like, yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning is good and empowering in some ways, but also it's kind of hard.
And then,
so anyway, that's the end of her story for a bit.
Yeah.
we'll see her again later, but we move on. Emily Blunt is going through the woods looking for, I don't know what she's doing actually.
She's taking the cow home. But then she runs into Cinderella, who is running away.
But she runs into the prince chasing Cinderella and loses the cow. And she's like, fuck, but also I love the prince.
Don't
all he'll help
sing
prince.
A very nice prince first?
Oh, does the cow run after? Because
I think
they start
after
that conversation
at the same time.
I think that it's like she runs into Cinderella. Cinderella is like, I'm running. Don't tell the prince that this is happening. The people come up. She loses the cow or whatever, and she lies to the prince.
No, I can tell you
exactly
how it happens.
Okay,
ready?
Go ahead, do it.
So she runs into Cinderella. Cinderella's like, I'm hiding. Don't tell them I'm here. The prince comes, and she's like, oh, your royal highness. No, I don't think I've seen any beautiful woman. They leave. Then they sit down, and she's like, so why are you running away from the prince? And they sing A Very Nice Prince. And then Emily Blunt says, oh, what I wouldn't give to be in your shoes. Slippers. As pure as gold. And then one midnight gone, she's like, I have to go. And she's like, wait, I need your shoes. And then Milky White runs in the other direction. She goes, Milky White. And then the witch is like, get the cow.
Yes, so yeah. That does sound right. So then she's chasing the cow. And then
she doesn't offer the bean yet.
That already happened. So then Jack comes.
To Cinderella. Because so they had 6 beans.
No, that's later.
And they offered 5 to Jack. Because
Jack was supposed to get 5 gold pieces.
Yeah.
So Jack got home and his mom threw the beans over her shoulder like, you stupid idiot boy. Now what are we going to do? We're going to have to eat each other. Go to bed. And then the next morning he wakes up and he's like, what? So he climbs up and climbs down. We don't see anything that happens in the giant world. He just runs. He finds the baker and he's like, there are giants in the sky.
Yeah. Well,
and he sings
like,
this whole story.
I have 5 gold pieces for you. I'm going to buy back Milky White. And
he gives him the gold, and he asks, where's Milky White? And James Corden is like, my wife has taken her back to our house, so I don't have him right now. And he's like, well, here are 5 gold coins. And he's like, I don't know that I want to sell. And Jack's like, oh, you want more money? That's fine. I'll go get more money because there are giants in the sky. They have lots of money. So he leaves, but James Corden has the 5 gold pieces, and he's like, wait, no, come back. Dang it. Oh, God. And then him and Emily Blunt soon cross paths again, right? Or does agony happen and then we see them again?
I don't know. No,
I don't
think
so. I think they meet up and split up again. Or do they sing It Takes Two?
No, they before. Split up because she gets Rapunzel. First, she's like, no, we only have one because Milky White ran away and I've been looking for him all night. And then they come back and she has the hair.
Okay.
But yeah, I so love yes, Giants they cross in paths. The Sky. And watching this kid sing it was like very nostalgic because in 2014, what's his name? Daniel Huddlestone. He was like it, you know? He was Gavroche in the Les Mis movie. He was like the musical theater movie boy.
This boy did have
and
a moment.
And yeah. Now I'm like, whatever happened to him? I hope he's well.
What did happen to him?
I don't know.
I was curious if Lila Crawford was still acting because I thought she was it. I love that she was doing 8 shows. I mean, in retrospect, this was crazy, but she was old enough to do it and she wanted to. She did 8 shows a week as Annie in Annie on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. And we saw her.
Yeah. And she was great. And she is still acting.
She is. Let's look at Daniel Huddlestone's IMDb. Nope. The last thing he did was in 2016. At least
he had a
on
single
screen.
Out. Yeah, his filmography is limited. It seems like he's still making music.
Well, that's nice.
Or at least he was in 2021. Let's see, what's his Instagram look like?
He's 24. That's crazy. How time goes.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not signed into Instagram on my mobile device, so I mean on my laptop, so I don't know.
Oh, I guess I can look at his Instagram. Nope.
The page couldn't load. Yeah, it honestly seems like maybe he hasn't been really active on social media since 2021 either.
Yeah, I think his account has been deleted because like that link is not working. Well, I stand by hoping that he's well.
Yes. Yeah, you don't need to be. I think it's cool to get to be a professional performer in your youth and then do something else.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then we go to the
but
tower.
Do check out the Derek Kleiner performance because it's better. But this boy's fine.
And Meryl Streep says, Rapunzel, let down your hair. And there's this
we see the prince do it and she lets down the hair and Emily Blunt observes this and is like, ooh, that's
no. The prince observes the witch doing it and then Emily Blunt eavesdrops on the prince telling Cinderella's prince, I go to her tower and say, Rapunzel, let down your hair, and then I climb up her hair. So she doesn't see him do it.
Okay, my bad. But the princes sing, they both have girls that they love.
He's complaining about how Cinderella keeps running away from him every night at the festival. And he's like, you think your life is hard? I love this girl who lives in a tower with no doors. And they sing Agony, which is just
they
change
classic. Rapunzel's prince in this to be... I really liked the performance and I didn't have an issue with this change, but in the musical, both princes are like raised to be charming, not sincere. And they, in act two, sing a reprise of Agony where they both now are in agony because they
love someone else.
Yeah. Because they're like Sleeping Beauty and Snow White.
The first Agony ends with them both singing, I must have her to wife. And then the reprise ends with them both saying, back to my wife.
Which I think is so funny. I do
it
like
is
that
funny,
a lot.
But I understand why they Pine wouldn't like include that. It. And I like that if they weren't going to include it, just make him a nice guy.
Yeah, he just genuinely loves Rapunzel and he does not stray.
Because also I feel like Rapunzel has it too hard for someone with like almost no lines. Like it's okay that she could just run away and not be part
of
the second act
of being locked in. Like I do think that what's happening there, right, is like because so much of this is thinking about how we treat our children, there is this protective instinct. Like the witch loves Rapunzel and protects her from the world by locking her in a tower, and actually that kind of like smothering protection is the most traumatic thing that anyone experiences in this, and she kind of like she can't live an independent life because she's never been given the space to do her own thing. And so then she goes mad and dies. And that's very hard. Like, the lesson that the witch learns, the witch still learns that same lesson, but I do, like, and I don't think you need that character to die to, like, I understand what you're saying, but I also think, like, there's an element of letting go that Meryl Streep's witch does that the Broadway witch doesn't even get the choice to do. Like, she just has to live with the regret of having never let go, as opposed to choosing not to re-imprison her wife and his and her husband in another tower or something. Like just letting them leave when she sings Children Will Listen is interesting. Is growth that Sondheim does not initially let the witch demonstrate.
Well, when she doesn't just let them leave, she lost her magic, so she can't.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she can't. Yeah.
But anyway, so Emily Blunt listened to that opening conversation, so then she goes to the tower and says, Rapunzel, let down your hair. And then she rips off a big chunk of her hair and runs away. And then she meets up with James Corden. And they're like, hey,
and now they have three.
How do they find Milky Way? He's just like there.
Yes, they do find Milky Way. And then, because he's got two, he's got the cape and he thinks he's found Milky Way, and then she's got the hair. He has found Milky Way because they have Milky Way in this moment. They have two, they have three of the four. They're excited. They're like, you know what, maybe it takes two of us, we can do this
but
together, we have one more
Milky
midnight
Milky Way because oh no they do you're right
they have Milky Way. They sing It Takes Two. Immediately after they sing It Takes Two, Jack is like, I'm back with even more money and I'm gonna buy my cow. And
then
Emily
Milky
Blunt,
White
they just got on the same page,
and
then Emily Blunt
dies.
Is like, wait, you took 5 gold coins from this boy? What the heck? And he's like, no, it wasn't like that. It kind of got out of hand. And then Milky White just drops dead before anyone can explain themselves. And then Meryl's, then, you know, like, whatever, they're like, oh, this sucks, we gotta find another cow. So they're like, we'll divide and conquer. Emily Blunt has a lead on the shoes. She's gonna go get the shoes. He's going to go buy another cow with the 5 gold coins that they still have from the boy. He doesn't need those coins. He has a big golden egg. So
yes. And then he runs
Meryl
into
Streep sings,
Little Red Riding Hood, and is like, I've got a golden egg that I stole from a giant. And she's like, I don't believe you. Why don't you steal a golden harp too? So then he's like, all right, I will. But
and
that goes
Meryl
poorly
Streep.
And he has to, the giant, I'm just going to get all of Jack's story out of the way. I don't know when it
happens
in the movie. The giant's coming down the stalk because he got caught. So then he cuts the beanstalk down and the giant dies. That's all for Jack for the first half of this movie. He's got a lot of gold and a dead giant.
But Meryl Streep sings a song to Rapunzel to just hammer home this theme of overprotecting her children.
Yeah,
that's like, stay with me, don't go out in the woods.
First, she sees Rapunzel's prince running away, and she, like, casts a spell that has all these thorny whatever growing up right in front of him, and he falls into it and is blinded. And then she's like, why will you not obey? Children should listen! And then she sings Stay With Me, which is, like, one of my favorite musical theater songs ever. I just, every line, I'm like, oh my god, it's so good, so, like, just complicated, you know?
Yes.
When she says, stay a child while you can be a child, I'm like, yes, but not like this, which...
The lyrics in the show are, like, next level.
Yeah.
Every song rules. And the themes of this musical are really interesting. Like, I really do think, like, you've spoken about the Stephen Sondheim problem of, like, Act 2 being like, what the fuck is going on here? Like in Sunday at the Park with George. But, and I do think that, like, on some level, Act 2 of this musical, like, is such a vast departure from the first act that, like, the junior version of Into the Woods can just be the first act. Mm-hmm. Like, that is unusual. But I do think, like, the thematic through line of this is really present and interesting, and in both, that, like, lyrically, just these recurring ideas and trying to, like, reckon with the same sort of idea of, like, childhood and fairy tales and what does it mean to tell stories to children and to one another. It's all present and interesting and so beautifully articulated.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cinderella is back at the ball. James Corden, like, there's this funny scene where James Corden, like, jumps into a carriage and is like, let me compare your hair to this ear of corn! And then he gets thrown out.
But this song happens before she got Rapunzel's hair. But so it's this the song third typically happens night of the in festival. The,
like, she, it's after the fact, but instead we get an in media res kind of song where everything freezes and she sings all of On the Steps of the Palace, and they change the lyrics at the end, because she's not telling the story of making the decision. She just is actively making the decision.
I've always wondered, like, why did they change it from second person to first person? I didn't realize that she was singing it after the fact in the musical.
Yeah. She's just like, she's saying, like, this is what happens and this is what you do in that situation. But here she's like, I'm literally just standing here. I guess this is what I'll do.
Yeah.
So but she sings on the steps of the palace. I like this song.
Yeah.
She knows what her decision is, which is not to decide.
And just leave him a clue. For example, a shoe.
For example, a shoe.
So what happened is that he...
Now it's he and not you.
Like, tar on the steps so she couldn't run away this time.
Yes. Knowing this time she'd run from him, he put pitch on the stairs. And she's caught unawares.
But it means that he cares. So she just sticks a shoe in and runs away to see if he'll use the shoe to find her. Now she's running in the woods with one shoe, and Emily Blunt is like, please give me your shoe. I need it to have a baby. She's like, that makes no sense. But then the prince is coming again, and she's like, all right, fine, take my shoe. She
gives the shoe.
She offers a bean, and Cinderella's like, what the hell am I going to do with a bean? And she throws it, like, behind her, which means another stalk is going to grow. So now Emily Blunt has the shoe.
She traded and then that bean to obtain your shoe, so the one who has the bean is you.
You mean that,
you mean
old,
that
bean?
Old bean? I mean, wait, don't look here.
The steward tries to steal the shoe from her, and Chris Pine is like, you idiot, I only need one. So then she gets it back. She's like, oh my god, thank goodness, bye.
So then the Prince Charming, Chris Pine's doing the Prince Charming thing. He's trying the shoe on everyone. Christine Baranski is cutting the toes and heels off her children so that they'll fit, but they're passing out and bleeding all over, and they're like, ugh, don't you have any other daughters? And then finally he meets Cinderella, and he looks her in the eye, and he's like, oh yeah, I recognize you by your eyes.
I know, that's what's so silly, is that, like, whenever you don't acknowledge that there's some magic making her, like, unrecognizable, it makes no sense why he needs to try these shoes on all these women. But whatever. They
but
get married.
Everything's working out for everybody. Yeah, they get married. The witch, they get all the stuff now because they have the shoe, they have the hair. James Corden has a cow, but it's not really a white cow. They're like, ah, well, whatever.
Like, well,
you know,
we had a white cow, but he died. And then she's like, oh, well, I'll just bring him back to life. I'm a witch. And they're like, oh, okay. So she does. And then she's like, feed all this stuff to the cow. But then nothing's coming out. And it's because she touched Rapunzel's hair, and she can't have touched any of the items.
It's also so funny to me that James Corden finds out. He's like, I have a sister, and then doesn't care at all. Like,
I had a brother, and she's like, no, but you had a sister. And he's like, oh, I don't care about a sister.
And he doesn't. Because when she's like, I've touched this hair, he's not like, wait, is it the hair of my sister? Where's my sister? Can I meet my sister?
No, he does not.
He's just
care.
Like, oh, darn, you're always touching hair. That's such a problem. But it's okay. Jack suggests they use the hair of the corn, and that works. And it milks, and she turns beautiful.
And then Emily Blunt turns pregnant. She's like, that was fast.
It was so fast. And then at the wedding of the prince, they have their Cinderella actual baby. And Anna Kendrick's like,
Emily
what?
Blunt, and she waves. And then Emily Blunt's like, look, my baby. And she's like, okay. But yeah, so everyone who is destined to gets to live happily ever after. But then the earth shakes.
Oh, and also Rapunzel had the whole plot of Rapunzel play out.
Yeah.
Where he's blind, but then she cries in his eyes and he can see. And
yeah, because the witch kicked her out of the tower and made her live, like, in a swamp or something. And then she runs
into the prince.
And Billy
Magnuson is so good in this role,
I think. He really is. Like, why do I know him? I was looking at
his... one of the guys in The Big Short who's selling the mortgages to strippers, and something else. He's just had like small. He has had like small asshole roles in a few like bigger projects, like that. But this is his like sweetest. I don't know. I feel like he plays leading man well here, and I'm surprised that he didn't get more of that kind of work. Maybe he kind of has the energy of like a Hallmark movie star. But I don't think that that's true. When I read his IMDb, I was like, oh, I recognize you from The Big Short and something else.
But anyway, yeah, everyone's got their happily ever after, but now there's a giant in our midst.
Oh, he's in Game Night. That was the other thing I recognized him from.
I did not see that.
I don't know if you saw that movie, but he's also kind of an asshole in that. But anyway, yes, giant earthquake.
There's definitely something I've seen him be the villain in. Whatever. It's not important. I'll figure it out.
He's got, like, angular features, so I get why he gets cast that way, and he's good at it. But he was also just, like, good at being, like, funny and ultimately like, kind of charming in this. And he sang well. There's a giant. It's the wife of the other guy. But Chris Pine is like, an earthquake! And he's gonna go solve that.
She's here to avenge her husband's death.
And then... in the stage show, the king's steward, the giant is like, give me Jack. And the king's steward, the prince's steward is like, yeah, sure, I'll get right on that. And so is the witch. And Jack's mom is like, I'm going to kill you, you stupid lady. Like, how dare you say that about my son? He's just a boy. He's so sweet. And then the steward kills her. But in this,
the giant doesn't do anything. The steward still technically kills her, I think. Right, he pushes her and
deliberate
she hits her head. It's like
in the
an
stage show. He
it's
just
a
like bops her on the head
instead of murder. But it is
still
the
it's
steward.
It's not murder because there's not. It's kind of manslaughter in the stage show too. But he actively hits her in the head, and then they're like, "Ooh, she's dead." Yeah. Whereas here, it's like he pushes her and then she hits her head on something else. The steward's just a little less culpable, I think, because the steward's like less of a character.
Yeah.
Not that he's like a huge character in the stage show, but he doesn't have to deal with the guilt of having killed a woman.
Yeah, but that moment is a big moment in a way that it's kind of like, oh, she died.
So everyone's kind of split into teams of like the witch and the steward. They're like, and the royal family, they're like, we just got to give this lady that boy so he'll go away. And Jack and Cinderella and the baker's wife and Little Red are like, no, we're not gonna do that. Also, this lady just died. We cannot have, like, we have to protect her son from this giant. He doesn't even know that this giant is looking for him. So they're gonna split up and try to find Jack before the other people find Jack. And the baker's like, I don't want to split up. Also, every time the baker holds the baby cries. And so he's like, you gotta be with the baby, and, you know, like, I'll take care of the baby when he's older. I don't want to have to do what you want us to do. But Emily Blunt's like, no, we got to split up. We'll just take 500 paces in opposite directions and then come back together.
And Cinderella will hold the baby. And she's like, okay. Cinderella becomes very complacent in the second act. She's just like, I don't mind cleaning.
Yeah, that is funny. While they're taking their paces, Emily Blunt runs into Chris Pine, and they have sex.
Yes, they do.
And also, the witch has her that moment where Rapunzel is like, I'm actually so pissed at you for sending me to a swamp and blinding my husband and keeping me in a tower, and I'm just gonna run away with my prince. And Meryl Streep's like, damn. She sings a sad song.
Mm-hmm.
The Witch's Lament.
About how children won't listen.
Yeah. And then Chris Pine and Emily Blunt sing a little song that's like, we're about to have sex. And then afterwards, Emily Blunt sings the song that, you know, it was just fine in this movie, but Stephanie J. Block's performance of it made me really appreciate this song, Moments in the Woods, which is like a lovely little final moment for the baker's wife before she gets stomped to death by the giant. You're like, oh, damn. She's dead. Yeah.
She is
so dead. Then the baker is like, where is my wife? What the heck? Oh my God, she's probably dead. And everyone's like, no, she wouldn't be dead. No, she's so savvy.
Who finds Jack? The witch? Someone finds Jack and he has the baker's scarf that the baker gave the baker's wife. And he's like, "How? Where'd you get that?" And he's like, I
almost feel like Jack just finds them.
Died. No, someone brought him there, I think. Because why else would the witch be with them?
That's true. Maybe the witch brings them the Jack. Whatever. All is it's revealed that the baker's wife is dead, and also Jack joins the group, and then the witch, she's like just heartbroken about her daughter being, in this case, just running away from her, and so she sings the last midnight, and
first James Corden says, it's because of you that there's a giant in our midst and my wife is dead. Well, it isn't my fault. I was given those beans. You persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans. And also, before we watched this, I saw a TikTok about how, like, oh, people are complaining about the music in the Mean Girls musical being changed, but I'll never get over how they slowed down Your Fault in the movie. And I was like, oh, I never really realized that. But then it did become, like, now that I've listened to the original, I was like, oh, dang, this is slowed down.
But interesting. It's okay. I'm not familiar with... I didn't notice that, but because the tempo I'm most familiar with is the tempo that Andrew Rannells performed it at when he did the whole thing by himself. That is...
Yeah, I think, PBS like, in the original concert. Broadway cast recording, they can barely even keep up. But it makes it, like, really manic in a way that this was more like...
You mean... That's still fast.
Yeah. But... Anyway, then Meryl Streep is like... Oh, they're all like, wait, it's your fault. You're the one to blame.
You're responsible. You're the one to blame. And then she's like, no more something...
What? What? She turns around. She's holding the baby, and she goes, "Shh, it's the last midnight. It's the last wish. It's the last midnight. Soon it will be boom squish." And then she's like, sure, if you want to blame someone, if that's the aim, give me the blame. Just give me the boy. And they're all like, no. She's like, no. You're so good. I mean, you're so nice. You're not good. You're not bad. You're just nice. I'm not good. I'm not nice. I'm just right. I'm the witch. You're the world. This is also and a great song. I feel like The Witch has all the best songs that have ever been written.
That have ever been written. I mean, honestly, I can't disagree. But and the point of this song, she's singing to them and telling them to shut up and to...
And then she
says,
like,
all these beautiful bits of wisdom.
Bean.
And then she says...
Beans are made for making you rich. And she's throwing them all. And then she's like, all right,
and she's
mother.
She's like, mom, I lost the beans again. Whatever. Freaking curse me. And her mom does. And she disappears.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah. So then they're like, all right, well, let's come up with a plan. So they come up with a plan to... kill the giant, and so Jack and the baker go off into a tree, and Little Red Riding Hood and Cinderella and the baby stay somewhere else. And then Little Red Riding Hood is like, I feel like my grandmother and my mom, who, by the way, she's lost them. Her house was crushed and she can't find her grandmother's, probably also dead. We don't know. She's like, I feel like they wouldn't be proud of me because they always told me to not kill people. Now I'm going to kill this giant. And then Cinderella's like, well, you know, your mom's not here. You have to make your own decisions. But, you know, no one's alone.
I think we should kill that giant.
Yeah.
And then
you gotta make your own decisions, and they may be right. You decide what's right. And you decide what's good.
And then Jack and the Baker are having a similar conversation where Jack's like, wow,
my mom's going to be so proud of me.
Proud of me for killing this giant.
Your mom is dead. Sorry.
Yeah. He's like, I got to tell you something that you don't want to hear. And Jack's like, oh, I'm going to kill that steward. And in this case, it's more like, hey, calm down. That steward didn't actually kill your mom. Like, that steward's not directly responsible for the death of your mother. But in the stage show, it is like, yeah, you should kill that guy. Yeah. But the Baker is like, maybe let's not be consumed by revenge, and you know, no one is alone. Yeah, exactly, precisely, same vibe, mm-hmm. but kind of slightly just subverted in different ways. They get ready to kill the thing. The giantess arrives. They do their whole plan,
and they succeed.
They kill her. There's a lot of shaky cam. You're like, whoa, what's happening? Like, literally, what's happening?
Yeah.
But the giant's dead.
And then they're all like, wow, we did it. Now what? We're orphans with no home. We'll live with you, Baker. And he's like, oh, sure. But,
Cinderella's like, I'll clean your house.
Will you help me? Because I don't even know how to raise one baby. And now I've got these other two kids living in my house. She's like, sure, you know, I kind of like cleaning. I'm like, great. Then, I love that that's your ending.
She also breaks up with the prince. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. They run into each that's other a real in ending. The woods.
She's like, my dad's house was hell. And my dad's house was a nightmare. And your house was a dream. Now I want something in between. And that's when he says, I was raised to be charming, not sincere. And she's like, mm-hmm. well, fuck you. I'm going to go clean this baker's house and help him raise these two random orphans. And the baker takes his kid from Cinderella, and the kid cries. And the ghost of Emily Blunt is like, just calm the child.
And then he's like, alone. Sometimes people leave you. Halfway through the wood.
In this eerie falsetto.
Do not let it grieve you. No one leaves for good. Also, in the original
You are Broadway not alone.
In the original Broadway cast recording, so it starts that he says, maybe I just wasn't meant to have children. And then he hears his wife's ghost saying, stop that. Of course we were meant to have children. And then he says, but how am I supposed to be a father with no one to mother my child? And in this movie, he says, how am I supposed to be a father with no father of my own to show me how, or something like that, which I just like that
line.
Change.
Yeah, I agree.
And then
he also found his dad. We didn't talk about that.
Oh yeah, that felt like a fever dream.
He straight up runs
like,
away
just, like,
after your
walk
fault
into this man, and he's like, oh, my son. And he's like, screw you, dad. I'm like, where'd you come from?
They have this familiarity that is so weird. That's a change, because the narrator is his father.
Yeah.
And then there's this element of like, oh, he's taking over and telling the story that his father had been telling mm-hmm. him. But he's the narrator. Instead,
he's
it's
the
like,
narrator
oh,
the whole time.
He's been narrating the whole time. And it's like, this whole movie has been him telling the story.
So then
is fine.
He starts telling.
It's so convoluted that the dad is the narrator.
Yeah.
So don't even worry about it.
That would not translate to film.
It would have played so weirdly. But it does play weirdly that he just finds this random man in the woods, and the man is like, I am your dad. Don't be like me. And he's like, okay, I guess I'll go kill that giant.
Oh, yeah, because he leaves for a bit.
He leaves he's after like, your
Cinderella
fault.
Cinderella can watch my baby. I can't do this. And then
the
he
witch
runs into his
turns
dad.
To tar, and he's like, I am getting out of here.
And he's like, you just left after your wife died. That's so messed up. And then his dad is like, you just did that. And he's like, oh, shit, you're right. So then he goes back. But anyway, he's holding the baby and telling the baby the story of everything that happened. And then we just have Meryl Streep's, like, voiceover singing Children Will Listen.
Careful the path you take. And then the sun rises and it's so bright. But not even colorful, it's just bright. It's just like, whoa, that's a lot of light. And then the movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Into the woods. That's how it ends.
Into the woods to go to the festival. Into the woods. Good music.
I wish.
Oh, yeah, it ends with her, I wish. And it's like a shot. It's like the music is happening over the credits, but then there's a full shot of Anna Kendrick going, I wish.
Yeah. Also, just I just love that part that, like, in the first act, it's like, no need to be afraid. There's something in the glade there. And then in the end, it's like, the light is getting dimmer. I think I see a glimmer. I love that. Yeah. And that's Into the Woods. It's good. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's a competent film adaptation of a musical that's probably hard to adapt.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see its haters do better. Like, other than the lighting and the production design, there's nothing that I'm like, this was a bad choice in adapting this.
Yeah, story-wise, it's pretty faithful to the spirit of the original text. Like, the changes that it makes are, feel like, responses to needs for time and to just, like, theatrical devices, like the narrator being the dad that simply, like, I cannot fathom how you could make that work in a way that wouldn't feel really weird. Because you would have to see, like, there'd be the visual component of the narrator being someone you're looking at than when he becomes a character. Like, there's just more permeability there versus, like, a voiceover narrator. I just, what would that be?
Yeah. No, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, you couldn't.
So, yeah. That's Into the Woods.
I must begin my journey.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see you next time. We won't see you. You'll hear us. Who knows what we'll talk about? Not us.
I've got an idea.
Okay. Well, that probably.
But won't. I'm not saying it until the end.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Goodbye. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Children will listen. The spell. Children